Professor Howard Morris, there is certainly a lot to consider, but previously you mentioned that analytical quality is actually our best area. Do we need to address these areas of pre-analytical and post-analytical processes?
Yes, most definitely. And very often, these processes, the pre-analytical phase and the post-analytical phase, actually require us to look outside the laboratory and to ensure that our laboratory practice is supported by the highest quality of work done outside the laboratory, which is feeding into our laboratory activities. So we need to, in the pre-analytical phase, we need to ensure that we have appropriate test selection for the patient groups, for our clinicians who are using our laboratory. We need to have appropriate sample collection procedures and sample transport procedures so that the samples we receive are actually appropriate for the testing that we need to do. And then, of course, we need appropriate sample receipt procedures. So they need to be appropriately labeled, that we have accuracy that the patient, the blood that was taken from the patient, is actually labeled for that patient. So that's the only way the results from that blood specimen can actually be delivered to the clinician treating the appropriate that patient. So this type of work in the pre-analytical phase requires us to have detailed instructions and guidance for the test selection. We need to provide educational support to our colleagues, sometimes they're laboratory staff, sometimes they're not laboratory staff, who are actually collecting the specimens from the patients. We need a regular audit and feedback that our sample transport is appropriate, that we're not getting specimens that have been sitting in the sun for 40 degrees or something over 24 or 48 hours, and so therefore they've been compromised with regard to their suitability for testing. And then we need to have a discussion with feedback with regard to the clinicians who are utilising our service, our clinical laboratory, to ensure that they are getting the tests and getting the information that they can use to treat their patients. At the post-analytical phase, we also need to have quite a deal of work and attention to detail. So we need to ensure that our tests are validated. We need to ensure that we're providing appropriate reports and that the critical values are clearly stated on those test reports, whether they be for a healthy population, so a healthy reference interval, or for critical identifying disease-specific critical values. We need to ensure that the reports are actually received by the clinicians, that they are delivered, and that the interpretation of the tests are available, whether it be directly from the test report itself or being able to get support from the laboratory in order to provide the appropriate testing and the appropriate interpretation. And then, of course, all this needs to be followed up in terms of ensuring that that the clinicians, again, are getting the appropriate service with regard to their reports and the specificity of the testing and the interpretation of the values that we are generating. So these questions are all, they require us to look outside the laboratory, look to our clients, to our clinicians who are utilising our service, and even perhaps to our patients who want more and more information about their own health status. And laboratory medicine, the clinical laboratory, provides a large amount of information about these aspects, and therefore requirement for us to ensure that that we are able to provide this level of information about this number. And much of our data, much of our information comes from generating numbers that those numbers have to be transformed into a meaningful result, a meaningful guidance for individual patients.
And is laboratory accreditation to ISO 15189 so useful? It involves a lot of paperwork, but doesn't it just mean that staff are ticking boxes and filling in forms rather than processing patient specimens?
Well, what accreditation, particularly to ISO 15189, involves is it provides a means of a management system for managing your quality. So all these different aspects I've described to you in terms of the analytical phase, the pre-analytical phase, the post-analytical phase, by achieving and by achieving accreditation to this particular standard, it provides this management system so that you can be sure that you are actually providing the quality that you're aspiring to, that the pre-analytical phase is appropriate, that the post-analytical phase is appropriate, and that your analytical performance is reviewed and assessed appropriately to the appropriate standard. So it's that quality management system that provides the laboratory and the individuals in the laboratory with that understanding and that knowledge that the laboratory is performing. Without the ISO accreditation, what you can end up with is a lot of paperwork that's put away in cupboards and is actually never reviewed, is never seen, even despite the best intentions of the laboratory personnel. It's the achieving and retaining your accreditation at the level of ISO 15189. It ensures that you have in place an active role, an active process of evaluating the quality and the performance of your laboratory on a day-to-day basis. So that really, the level or obtaining accreditation is actually tying all these pieces together and ensuring that it's actually working for the sake of the patient. Now, it's certainly a laboratory accreditation is a big jump, and it's not something that should be taken lightly. And certainly the IFCC approach, again, is this stepwise approach to achieve these various stages of quality to aim for this achievement of a laboratory accreditation to the current world standard, which is the ISO 15189 standard.
So does that mean that gaining accreditation for your laboratory is the top of the mountain for our profession? Is that all we should be focused on?
That's one of the aspects where the IFCC is taking forward these issues for our profession. And probably it's a unique activity in the world for the IFCC and the professional bodies. It's the role that the professional bodies take as opposed to industry or the academic aspects of laboratory, clinical laboratory practice. Obviously, the industry is taking forward technical developments in terms of instruments and assays and reagents, aiding to quality in that framework. The academia is identifying new biomarkers for disease and taking forward the work of the clinical laboratory in that phase. But the professional bodies of the laboratory are taking forward the concepts of adding value to laboratory medicine. So we have continuous laboratory quality improvement, which will be arising from accreditation. But then we have to go a step further and add value to it. Many laboratories, whether you're paying for the tests yourself from as the individual patient, whether insurance companies are paying for the tests, or whether the government is paying for the tests, it is all being paid for. And our community requires that laboratory medicine provides the highest standards of care for a reasonable price, are reasonable so that value is obtained. We can't, it is inappropriate for a clinical laboratory to be able to provide testing at a cost which very, very few people in the community can afford. That is then discriminating against the vast majority of people, and therefore, and healthcare is a right. It's a right for all of the population. So there are various aspects of adding value that we have to go forward with regard, and that really adds to the quality management above the levels of accreditation. Adding value means certainly at least providing or improvements in efficiency and cost effectiveness of laboratory testing. But it also is a further aspect, and we're really wrestling with this, and that is to ensure that the work of the outcomes of our laboratory are actually improving clinical outcomes. I mean, let's just look at producing serum sodium levels. We all, clinical laboratories, are generating lots of serum sodium results, and we do them very cheaply, and we can produce a lot in a day with these automated track systems and online analyzers. But of course, if those serum sodium values do not improve the outcome of patients, then the money's wasted. No matter how few cents one serum sodium costs an individual, if it's not adding to the patient's healthcare outcome, then it's a waste of money. So adding value is a central and a major task of clinical laboratories, but it's not an easy task. It's a new area, and we're breaking new ground in this area. And that's because we don't really know how to assess that we are adding value to improve clinical outcomes. So the laboratory at the moment, the IFCC, has developed the thinking of the order of adding value to quality laboratory medicine services through the application of science. And in this case, science is spelt S-C-I-E-N-C-E. Well, it is in English anyway. And that can mean for science, we have standardization and harmonization. We have clinical effectiveness. We have innovation. We have evidence-based practice, novel applications, cost effectiveness, and education of others. And so that's been one of the aspects that the IFCC has been working on.
Is the IFCC working on solving this problem of what is value in laboratory medicine, and how do we measure the value of laboratory medicine?
Well, as I said, it is a problem, and we don't have a clear and simple definition for the value of laboratory medicine at this time. But the IFCC is participating in an international working group involving pathologists through the World Association of Pathologists and Laboratory Medicine. We also are working with individual national societies, such as the American Association of Clinical Chemistry and the Australasian Association of Clinical Biochemistry. In order to bring together a number of people who are working on papers and looking at data and trying to test various means of assessing this value in laboratory medicine. So we are working on that in order to take this task forward to ensure some academia are working in this field quite a lot at this moment. So, for instance, the Department of General Practice at the Medical School at Oxford University in the United Kingdom, they have established a particular specialist group in this field looking at the effects of providing clinical laboratory testing in various clinical settings. And particularly to add value to the whole healthcare delivery system. And so they've done research, for instance, where on the basis of in consultation with family practitioners operating in various small towns around Oxford, they've provided some critical tests as point of care testing. In some of these family practitioner practices, and in others there weren't. So this was a sort of randomized controlled trial of providing particular clinical laboratory tests through the use of point of care testing. And in those practices which had access to these point of care tests of laboratory medicine in their general practice at the point where they were seeing the patients, they were able to reduce the number of patients referred to a hospital by some 30%, whereas in the same time period in similar geographical setting and a similar patient grouping, those practices, medical practices who were primary care practices, seeing a similar set of patients who did not have access to these point of care tests, they actually increased the number of patients referred to hospital care. Now, a 30% reduction is a major success. Our healthcare costs around the world are increasing at a much greater rate than inflation is increasing, and it doesn't matter what the payment setting, whether it be health insurance companies or individuals paying for their own healthcare costs, or whether it be government and public healthcare providers, each one of those is finding it difficult to meet this rising cost in healthcare delivery. And therefore, it's likely we are proposing that this research that we're conducting to determine and assess the value that laboratory medicine can add to patient care and the healthcare system as a whole, that this is what we need to ensure that we can still, society and our communities can provide equity in healthcare delivery right across our community. That we need to improve the cost effectiveness of the whole healthcare system. And we're proposing that laboratory medicine, the practice of laboratory medicine, can actually provide and make a major contribution. But this is still research. This has not been proven. There's been some data here and data there, and publications have been made, that this will take some considerable amount of work. And that is where the professional societies can enhance this work that academics are doing in the in vitro diagnostic, the commercial side of our industry is contributing to, but it is being able to put this work into practice in small experiments, if you like, to ensure and to take this work forward of the question of defining value in the healthcare system that arises from the practice of laboratory medicine at its highest quality.
Thank you very much, Professor Morris, for this discussion, and we very much look forward to hearing the progress being made in this area of measuring value of laboratory medicine. It's been a real pleasure to have you in Microscopia.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to talk about this subject.